to chapter 10. Father, now we settle ourselves, we settle our hearts, our thoughts, and we give them to you. We ask, Lord, that you would speak to us through your word. Your spirit would speak. And Lord, we ask that we would just have ears to hear, hearts to really receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus selected 12 men to be on his team during his public ministry. The 12 disciples, the 12 apostles. And folks, he gave those guys vigorous training when it comes to ministry. He taught those 12 guys what it meant to deny themselves, to take up their crosses daily, and to follow Jesus. He gave them cross training, as I'm calling it. We're taking that same training course along with the disciples on Sunday morning. We're looking at different passages in the Gospels to see how Jesus trained those 12 guys, and we want to be trained to be disciples as well. And this morning we come to a very practical topic and a very important topic. How should disciples deal with money matters when it comes to ministry? How should Christians view finances, support, provision when it comes to doing the work of the ministry? Now, I've been in church all my life and I've seen a lot of things, folks. I've seen the preacher man on TV begging for money. I've heard the guys basically give the impression that God's going to go absolutely bankrupt if he doesn't get your faith seed gift. Let me tell you, God's not going to go bankrupt if he doesn't get your faith seed gift. I've been to services where people are manipulated into giving large sums of money. The pastor stands up and all of a sudden just sort of stops. And begins to have a silent conversation. Oh, yes, yes. The Holy Spirit just told me that there's someone here this morning who needs to give $10,000 to the church. Who has the faith to do it? And they'll even wait to see who will write that check. And I guess somebody finally writes it so everyone can go home and get some lunch or something. I would say to that minister, where's your faith? Why don't you have enough faith to let the Holy Spirit deal directly with God's people concerning matters like that? I don't like high pressure churches and preachers and ministers that give the impression that church is only about getting and giving money. That's always left a very, very bad taste in my mouth. And I'm determined to never let that happen here. On the other hand, the Bible does clearly, plainly teach that God's people are to give to support the Lord's work. The Bible teaches that the ministry, God's work, is to be adequately, abundantly provided for through the free will, sacrificial offerings of God's people. I'd like to look at this issue from two sides this morning. First, from the side of the one doing ministry. The one who's doing the ministry, the one who is the minister, like these 12 apostles during the public ministry of Jesus. And then I'd like to look at the issue from the side of those who are recipients of ministry, those who are receiving ministry, being blessed by ministry. Look at verse 5 of Matthew chapter 10. We'll go back a little bit for context. It says, These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Remember, Jesus is sending those 12 apostles out into the ministry. He's sending them out on a short-term, temporary mission trip. They'll be going out two by two, visiting different cities, preaching the gospel, and doing those miracles in the power of Jesus Christ. So these guys are going out as ministers into the ministry. Look what he says to them at the end of verse 8. Freely you have received, freely give. To the disciples, the ministers that are going out on a mission trip, Jesus said to them, freely you have received, freely give. To any minister doing ministry in any way, shape, or form, Jesus would say to that minister, freely you have received, freely give. I think Jesus was making something perfectly clear to these disciples. He's saying, disciples, guys, I'm sending you out on a mission trip. You're going to go out. You're going to be in the ministry. But I want you to understand something. What you have to offer other people has been given to you. They're going to go out on this mission trip and they're going to preach a message. They're going to teach a message. They didn't come up with the message. They didn't invent the message. So they shouldn't copyright the message and peddle the message. Freely they had received the message. These guys are going to go out into various cities and they're going to, as it says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Now, Peter wasn't going to come up with his own technique to raise the dead, folks. James and John weren't going to come up with an 8-step formula to cast out demons, write a book, and sell it in a Christian bookstore. It says that Jesus empowered them to do those things. Freely they had received. Ministers need to recognize that. Amen? Any minister doing ministry, listen up very closely to me, if you're in the ministry in any way, shape, or form, what you have to offer other people has been given to you. Ministers are to go out and preach the gospel message. We didn't come up with the gospel message. Who did? God did. Ministers are to go out into this world and teach the word of God. Did anybody come up with the word of God? God gave us his word. We just go out and teach it. Ministers are to go out and heal and pray for healing. Pray for God to do miracles. Now, if you pray for somebody and God heals somebody through your prayer, are you to go, wow, I'm pretty special, pretty anointed, make your checks out too, ding, 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 ding. Freely you have received. There are some Christians in the body of Christ that have been called and anointed by the Holy Spirit to fill significant leadership roles within the church. But they've been given those talents. They've been given those gifts. A gifted teacher of God's word has been given that gift from the Lord. A gifted evangelist has been given that gift from the Lord. A gifted musician has been given that talent and giftedness by the Lord. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. You cannot work for it. Those things are freely given, folks. There might be a Christian pastor or a Christian musician who might say, wait a minute, I've put a lot into developing that skill. I've gone to seminary, I've gotten training, and I've gotten education, and I've taken music lessons and all this. What about that? Shouldn't I demand to be paid for my services? No, you shouldn't. And here's why. You can do a lot of work to get an education, and you can spend some money to get an education, but you cannot buy the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon your life and upon your ministry. That's given sovereignly by the Lord. And those who have that training and get those opportunities, how did you get those opportunities? God gave them to you. So ministers need to recognize that what they have to offer, if anything, has been given to them by the Lord. And let's just camp out on that, my brother and sister in Christ. Listen, God has given all of us so much, hasn't He, for free? Salvation. What did that cost God? Everything. The sacrifice of His Son on the cross for your sins. And He says, I'll give salvation to you. It's a free gift. Our God is a giver, isn't He? And we've received so much freely from the Lord. Right now, the scripture says Jesus is preparing a mansion for us in heaven. A beautiful place that we'll stay one day. Won't cost you a nickel. Jesus has given us His peace. His joy. The Holy Spirit. Think of all the abundant blessings that God has freely poured out on all of us. Amen. So, how are ministers to minister then? Freely. What's it say there? Freely you have received, freely give. Disciples, you're going to go out on this mission trip. You're going to preach and you're going to do miracles, and you are to do it absolutely free. No charge whatsoever. This is the mindset of a minister. This should be the mindset of a minister. They will minister for free. Willing to preach for free. Willing to teach for free. Willing to baptize for free. Willing to do weddings, funerals, etc. for free. Willing to sing songs or play music for absolutely zero charge. Expecting no payment whatsoever. I heard a Christian musician when I was a kid. And you know, when you're a kid, you see things pretty simplistic, pretty simple. And I remember this Christian musician, he was up sharing and he was about to sing a song and he said, I'm going to share with you now just a very, very special song in my heart. The Lord God Almighty gave me this song. He gave it to me. And this song that God gave to me is available on a cassette tape that you can purchase after the service. Now, I know he didn't mean anything bad by it at all. He didn't. He didn't mean anything, and I know that. I know the musician. But as a kid, you know, you see things pretty straightforward. Shouldn't we be paying God? God gave you the song? This should be the mindset of anybody who's in the ministry, however. If you're a minister, you'll do it for free. Ministry is not to be peddled. Ministers are not to turn ministry into a get-rich operation. It is not to be a money-making operation. It's just simply no place for that. Freely you have received. Freely you will give. This is how every minister should operate. Look what Jesus says to these 12 guys about their provision on this mission trip, however. Now, keep in mind, they're going out. They're going out on a journey, two by two, into various cities. And look what he says to them in verse 9. Provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money belts, nor bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staffs. Wait a minute. They're going out on a mission trip. They're going to be traveling around. And Jesus says, make no elaborate provision for yourself whatsoever, guys. In verse 9, he says, provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money belts. The guys in those days wore almost like girdles, and flaps of their robe would be folded over, and it'd be like big purses that they had. And Jesus said, the idea is, don't fill those with money. Don't prepare, don't make any advanced preparations. Don't bring extra cash. He's literally saying, basically saying, take the cash that's on you, but don't stop by the ATM on the way out of town. Take no extra gold. Take no extra silver. None of that. Take what you got and go. In verse 10, he says, don't take a bag for your journey. Now, I love that. The Greek word bag, it shows up in some contexts in Greek literature where it speaks of money bags that traveling speakers would use to collect money. These speakers would travel from town to town, and basically they'd bring their own offering plates along. Their money bags, and they'd put it out, and it was sort of like a tip jar. And Jesus could be saying to his disciples, leave your offering plates at home. Imagine some preachers going anywhere without an offering plate. I was at a graduation ceremony a few years ago for a Christian school, and an out-of-town pastor was called to come in and officiate. This guy took a collection for his ministry at that graduation ceremony. I was embarrassed to be called a pastor at that moment. Not only that, he could be saying, don't take a bag for your journey. Ladies, listen to this. No suitcase. Take no suitcases for your journey. You're on a mission trip. Don't take any extra tunics, no sandals, no extra staffs. Take the money that you have in your pocket and the clothes that you're wearing. You won't be packing for this trip, boys. And go. That's radical. Imagine if we went on mission trips like that today. We're going to get a team of 20 and we're going to go into Juarez and we're going to disappear for 2 weeks. Going with nothing but the clothes on our back and the money in our pockets. I'll bet it'd be an awesome adventure. Take nothing. What's Jesus teaching ministers here, folks? Well, I think there's a principle that just stands out. Christians in the ministry are expected to travel light. If you're in the ministry, you should be expected and willing to travel light. You don't want to have a lot of stuff tying you down. You can't have a lot of your time and affairs wrapped up in business or in all those kinds of things. You're in the ministry and you're expected to travel light. Every now and then I run into a minister who's in the ministry and he's sort of grumbling and complaining. Oh, it's so hard and nobody gives. And I want to say, well, what did you expect? You're a minister. You're in the ministry. You're supposed to travel light, buddy. Learn to be content when you're lacking and when you have. These guys would learn that they needed to travel light. This is a verse that many different Christian ministers throughout history have taken literally. Every now and then here we'll sing a hymn, All Creatures of Our God and King. You know that hymn? The author of that hymn was a guy by the name of Saint Francis of Assisi. You heard of him? in his early 20s, he was a wealthy man. I mean, he was born to a wealthy family. And in his early 20s, he heard and saw and read this passage that we're just reading. And it so impacted him that he disowned all of the wealth that he had inherited. He gave away everything he had. And he spent the rest of his life doing this, traveling from city to city within Italy. Just meeting people's needs and living very simply. He even created quite a following. Many people were drawn to this man, and he organized a brotherhood. Perhaps you've heard of it, the Friars. They were monks, not monks who were tucked away in monasteries somewhere, but monks that traveled very simply from city to city seeking to minister. Now, I obviously don't take it as literal as that, but the mindset is very, very clear here. The principle is we are to travel light. And I could say that for every Christian. Amen? The Bible teaches we're pilgrims. This place isn't our home. Bible says our citizenship is in heaven. I don't think any of us should lay our roots down too deep here. But especially those who want to be in the ministry. Jesus, I believe, is also saying something else to these disciples, these ministers. He's telling them something that they need to understand. Very important for anybody who would be in ministry to understand. Ministers are not to be overly concerned with support and provision. We're not to be obsessed with it. We're not to be preoccupied. You know what a minister is supposed to focus on in the ministry?
The ministry.
They're to focus all their time and attention on teaching the word, on doing what God has called them to do. They're not to be obsessed with provision and support. Jesus is saying, have no concern for it. Isn't he? It's not to be an issue for you guys. You just go out and do the ministry. So what's a minister to do? Depend on the Lord Jesus Christ. I can see these guys saying, but Jesus, what hotel are we going to stay at? Where are we going to stay? Where are we going to eat? Where are we going to... And Jesus said, don't worry about that. You go out, you do the work, you leave that up to me. I'll take care of that. You just do the work of the ministry. So this is the mindset of ministry. Recognize that what they have to offer has been freely given to them. Give freely. Travel light. Depend upon the Lord and have no concern for that. Now, we should be looking for that in ministers, folks. Those characteristics should identify those who are truly called and genuine ministers of the Lord. If you run into a minister who's becoming a little too pushy on the money front, or someone who seems a little bit too interested in peddling something that's for spiritual benefit, listen, be careful. That should be a red flag, don't you think? From time to time, and I love this, I love to have musicians come and share with us, and I love to have guest speakers come and share with us, and I love to bless them when they come. I love them to do ministry. I wish we could do more of it. And most of the times, our brothers and sisters in Christ, who many of you know around, and they've been around many times, they're so wonderful to work with. They just come, and they just want to minister and do things freely, and I work so well with that person. I'll bless them with an honorarium. I'll let them put a table up and have their supplies available, and nothing's pushed and nothing like that. I just love to bless that, and I'll have them back, and I love it. But a few years ago, we had a guy come by, and before he got her, we had talked on the phone about arrangements and, you know, oh, yeah, brother, whatever, you know, free will offering, whatever. And then when he got here, he basically demanded a huge honorarium.
And I thought, okay.
And then he also demanded that he would be allowed to put out a collection plate at his table to receive offerings from our congregation. And I'm glad to do that with people do it with the right attitude, but this guy was a little pushy. And I'll never forget, during that weekend, some of the people at the church were having parties and fellowships and potlucks, and I took this guy over to one of the families in the church who was having a potluck, and they had a big beef brisket. And this guy, I've never seen a bigger plate of brisket in all my, and I'm not kidding, I think he took half of it. It was a mountain of beef. And he told me, I asked him about it. He told me, oh, it's Atkins. I'm on Atkins. And I said, well, you know, give the poor cow a break. Save some beef for somebody else, for crying out loud. He hasn't been back. He hasn't been invited. You understand where ministers are to come from, folks? What their calling is, what they're to do? Let's look at it from the other side now. Those who are receiving ministry. Look in verse 10 again. He says, don't bring any bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staffs. For a worker is worthy of his food. Now, whatever city or town you enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and stay there till you go out. And when you go into a household, greet it. If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever will not receive you nor hear your words when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Here's the plan. Here's what they're supposed to do. They go out two by two. They make no elaborate provisions for themselves. They go into cities. They're focused on preaching the gospel and praying for people, healing the sick, and that's to be their focus. How were they to be taken care of? They were to rely on the worthy ones of that city. They were to go into a city and, as the minister, find those who were worthy. The worthy ones would take care of them. If they found a house that didn't have a worthy one, they'd go to the next house. If they couldn't find anyone who was worthy in the whole city, they left the city. Go to the next one. No worthy ones there. Who are the worthy ones in this passage? The worthy ones in each city were those who had received them as valid apostles. Were those who had received them as valid ministers. Were those who had received their message. Were those who had benefited from the ministry of them as ministers. Those who had noticed that they were ministers doing ministry and they needed support and provision, and so the worthy ones took care of them. And what was their responsibility? Take them in. Give them a place to stay. Give them meal. Give them food to eat. Folks, the worthy ones in each city were God's people, receiving God's messengers and freely, voluntarily supporting them without having been pressured, coerced, without ever payment ever once being demanded. And that's where we all come in, right? Brother Brother and sister in Christ, church, listen very carefully to me. You and I are to see to it that evangelism is taking place on this planet. Everywhere on this planet. You and I are to see to it that God's word is going out in every single community. You and I are to see to it that orphans are being taken care of. The sick are being visited and prayed for. Prisoners are being visited and prayed for. The homeless are being taken care of. Those that are hungry are being fed. The church is supposed to make sure that that's taking place. And ministry takes place primarily through people, right? So the church is to absolutely be sure that there is a fully supported workforce on this planet who are completely free to do the work of the Lord. Amen? That's the way it is. Pastor, who do I support? What minister should I go out and support with finances? What do I do? Well, start with the ones that are blessing you directly. Start with the ministries where your family is actually being blessed through the ministry, right? Find out which ministries in your life have been a blessing to your life through the Lord, and bless them, support them voluntarily, free will, offerings given to the Lord's work through that ministry. Now, I personally don't think these disciples had a hard time finding places to stay. I really don't. Imagine what they're going to do. Imagine you're a father, and you have a son that you love very much. And your son doesn't live with you anymore because he has leprosy. He's white with leprosy. His skin is rotting away and he's not allowed to be in your city. And along come two of these disciples. And they find your son. And in Jesus' name, they say, be cleansed of leprosy. And the son is brought back to that father. You think they might offer those guys a meal? Think they might take care of those guys? Hey, you need a place to stay tonight? Start with those ministries that God has used in your life to bless you. And then look for ministries that are fruitful. Support ministries that are fruitful, that you see God's hand upon and doing a work with. And bless them. So you see, there's two sides of it. The minister is out ministering for free, with no concern whatsoever for their own provision, nor should they have any concern. There's others in the bodies of Christ, in the body of Christ, that know they're not to be in a full-time ministry capacity. They know that, and their job is to voluntarily come behind and support those people who are truly called for the ministry. The ministers do not demand payment. They don't even expect payment. But God's people, recognizing the call of God on that person's life, would say, oh, yep, that person needs to be supported to do the work of the Lord full time. Wonderful, wonderful coordination and cooperation among the body of Christ. Amen. And check it out. Those who support God's people are blessed. Verse 12, when you get into a household, greet it. If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. The household that supports the Lord's work has the peace of God upon them. Look down at verse 40. It's still in Matthew chapter 10. Right before these guys go off, Jesus says one final thing to them. He says, he who receives you receives me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. I do. I run into many Christians who sometimes feel like they're second-rate Christians because they're not preachers, they're not musicians, they don't have these sorts of things, and, oh, I can't be in the full-time ministry, and they think that they don't really have a place in the body of Christ. Well, you know what? It might be true. You may not be gifted in that way. And you shouldn't try to do that. But you find people who are, and you support them, and you share in their reward. Did you see that? You let a prophet stay at your house, take care of a prophet, you'll share a prophet's reward. Both share and share alike. Awesome, isn't it? Sometimes I think about those folks that were the first ones to begin supporting a guy like Billy Graham. Think about that. Billy Graham was a no-name. And there were some of God's people that got around Billy Graham and backed him and believed in him and supported him. And the people that supported Billy Graham in that way, think about the reward they're going to get. They struck a spiritual gold mine, didn't they? You know, we think so much oftentimes about investing in which stock's really going to move to this week. Let's find the one that's really going to take off. Think about doing that spiritually by supporting ministries that are going to take off. Or think about the folks in the book of Acts. And there weren't many, by the way. But there were a few who would come along and support the Apostle Paul. Oh, wow. It's our responsibility, gang, to make sure that ministry is supported. And it's not to be done with any pressure, any guilt associated with that, like that. No game plan whatsoever. The Bible says this is just the way it is. And all of us can be a part of making sure that this world is reached for Jesus Christ, knowing our place, knowing our roles. Jesus says some pretty tough things here, though, doesn't he? In verse 13, he says, if the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. If it's not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever will not receive you nor hear your words, when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. That was a symbolic gesture that people would use in those days that everybody knew what it meant. In those days when a pious Jewish person would even walk through a Gentile city. After they got out of the city, they would symbolically shake all the dust off their feet, saying, I will not let any Gentile defiled dirt enter with me into the holy ground of Israel. They're to do the same thing here if a city or a household were not to accept them, basically indicating, I'm through. That city was given an opportunity. They blew it. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Now, understand something. Please understand something. This is not saying that if a Christian is not giving to support the work of the Lord, that they're going to be judged worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. It's definitely not saying that. If Christians don't give to support the Lord's work, they have issues. And there's rewards that they're going to miss out on. But it's not saying that they'll be judged. This is obviously speaking of the houses and the cities and the people who would reject the message, the gospel. The Bible teaches that if one rejects the gospel message, judgment awaits. It even seems to say here, and I believe the Bible does teach, that there will be varying degrees of punishment in hell in the day of judgment. Those cities in the days of the apostles will be judged more severely than Sodom and Gomorrah. Why? Because those cities were given more light. Sodom and Gomorrah didn't have Jesus and the apostles walking around healing the sick, cleansing the lepers, raising the dead. The cities in the days of Jesus had that. And therefore, those who have been given more light than others and yet reject the light, they'll be judged more severely. Oh, understand that truth. My friend, if you've been given light, if your eyes have been opened to why Jesus came and died on the cross for your sins and rose again, if that's been preached to you, if you've heard it, and if you've understood it, and yet you've rejected it, oh, don't do that. Give your heart to Jesus Christ. Amen. In fact, there may be some here this morning, right now, who have heard the gospel message over and over, who've been to many church services, who know the deal. And yet they're mad at God, they're mad at the church. Perhaps they think they've been to too many churches that were too high pressure on giving, and all those people want is money, blah, 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 blah. Hey, listen. Don't get that confused with Jesus. Jesus isn't like that. He loves you. He loves you freely. And this Christmas season, we celebrate the fact that He came as our Savior. To take our sins. To shed His blood. To rise again that third day to be our Savior. We can have the free gift of salvation. Consider that. Let's end on that note. Camp out on that thought. Think of how much God's given to you freely. Leave this place rejoicing. And determined to be a Christian who's in the ministry, just simply giving away free stuff that you were given freely. Depend upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow Him. Father, it is a pleasure to follow You. It is wonderful, Lord, to follow You. Lord, You have blessed each one of us who belongs to You so abundantly. Oh, Lord. Help us as people who belong to You not to ever allow selfishness to creep into our lives. If there's anything that we as Your people should be, Lord, it should be unselfish, completely unselfish, willing to give freely to one another, to Your work. And Father, I pray that Your body, Your people, would work in coordinated fashion all across this planet to see to it that Your work is done. If there would be one here this morning, with every head bowed, eyes closed, who's never given their heart to Jesus Christ, you've had the gospel preached at you and to you many times. You've been told the simple truth that Jesus loves you,
died on the cross for your sins. And yet you have never responded for yourself. You need to admit to Jesus that you're a sinner. That you have sinned, that you've blown it.
You need to believe in your heart that the Lord Jesus died on the cross for your sins and rose again that third day. And then you need to simply ask Jesus to be your Savior. To come into your heart. To clean you up.
The Bible says that on the basis of Christ's death on the cross, your penalty for sin can go away. He paid it.
You have an opportunity right now, and I want you to indicate that publicly. Would you look up at me and raise your hand if you need to do that this morning? Make it known. Just lift up that hand. Raise it up high. Don't be shy. Don't be embarrassed.
You will respond to the light of the gospel message right now. Anyone. You'll have just a few more moments.
Then, Lord, may you bless your people represented here this morning. Strengthen them. Anoint each one of us by the power of your Holy Spirit that we might be good witnesses for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.